Psalms 136. Psalms 136. Psalms 136. This psalm is probably a psalm that maybe the Levites, the priests, may have sang at the tabernacle. It could have been they could have sung also at the temple later. Not 100% sure. Probably from David. God probably gave David this psalm to write. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into this psalm this evening. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, and I just pray for your help to preach and teach your word. I pray that this message would help us in our walk with you. And Lord, it would be a reminder to us who you are, all the things you have done for Israel in the past, what you have done for us today. And Lord, that we would leave here rejoicing. And we ask in Jesus, your precious name, amen. Look here, starting at verse 1 through 3. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Now, in this psalm, what you're going to see is the second part of each verse is a repeat that says, "For his mercy endureth forever." So if those Levites were singing it, it's possible that one could have said something, or one group could have said something, the other group could have said the other part of it. Kind of like when we sing songs in here, right? That you have it and you have someone that's down on the other part that sings it. And that's good, right? It gives the whole song. But anyway, I want you to think about take that second part now for a second before we go back to God is good. For his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy for you, God's mercy for me, endures forever. You think about mercy. Mercy is getting what you don't deserve. The Bible talks about, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What that means is we all deserve to die and spend eternity in hell because of our sin. But God in his mercy loved you and me, that was willing to send his only begotten Son to die in our place, that when we receive him as our Savior, we don't have to go there. We can go to heaven because of what Jesus did for us. And you think about it, it's God's mercy. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God told them when they sinned, the judgment of that is death. The reality is they died spiritually that day. They died physically later. But God showed mercy to them. God had mercy on them and allowed them to live and ultimately promised them a redeemer. But you think about mercy. God's mercy in your life. I mean, who here has never, ever, ever, ever sinned? All of us have sinned, right? How about after you got saved? Who here has never sinned? We all have sinned, even after we got saved. Amen? Who here can say, "I've been faithful to God every single second of my life"? None of us can. But God has mercy on us. God knows what we are. And he still loves us. And the song, what he says at the beginning, it says, "Go give thanks." So it's a song of praise. It's a song of worship. And he starts off and says, "Unto the Lord, for he is good." God is good. There's people in this world that say, "God is mean and God is hateful." No, that's not the case. God is good. Excuse me. God is good all the time. Dude, think about it. You came in here tonight and you probably didn't even think about your heart that was beating. Your heart beat about maybe, 60 to 100 times a minute. And you didn't even think about that. And the reality is your heart is still beating. Now you may be thinking about it. Now you may be checking it. Oh, no, I'm in trouble, right? No, but your heart is beating, right? And you think about God has been good to you. God has given you life. God has allowed you to breathe. God has protected you, watched over you. I mean, God is good. God is holy. God is righteous. And God loved you and me enough that he was willing to die on a cross for our sins. You think about how much God loves us. God is good. Then he says in verse 2, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever." You think about how God is not only good, how he is the true God of heaven. There's only one true God, and that's the God of this Bible. All other gods are false gods. Can I tell you, you think about all these false gods that are out there, these false religions that are out there, all they are is false. There's only one true God, a supreme God, the God of this Bible. Folks, can I tell you, you think about it, He is the God of gods. We have a missionary we support that goes to India. In India, they have a religion there that's called Hinduism. Hinduism believes that everything can be a god. Everything. So, and I remember talking to some Hindu people, and they have told me that. They believe everything can become a god. They have millions upon millions of gods, false gods. And I asked them the one time, the Hindu, I said, "Sir, I just have to know, why?" I said, "Why does your people have so many gods?" And he said, "Well, we believe." He said that if we believe, and I had a mouse that was there. He said, "My people believe that this mouse is a god. We believe this computer screen is a god." He said, "Because if we believe everything is a god, then we won't miss going to heaven." And I told him, I said, "Well, what do you believe?" You know what this Hindu man told me? He said, "I believe that can't be true." He said, "It can't be all things can be God." He said, "There must be one." And I told him, and I went over to his house, and they made dinner for me, and I shared with him who the God of heaven is. Folks, when I tell you, there is only one true God, a creator, the one that made the heavens and the earth, the one who made us. There is only one God, and the psalmist is saying, hey, give thanks unto him. Don't praise these false gods, but thank him. He goes on in verse 3, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever." That word Lord here is referring to, you think about his master. He is over everything. You think about the God of heaven that's good. The God of heaven, there is only one God. You think about, he is over everything. God is in control of everything. You may say, "Well, preacher, if that's the case, then why do we have bad things?" Well, because God allowed man to have a choice in the garden. God gave us a free will and told man that if they ate of that fruit, that ultimately sin would come into the world. And this world is not the world that God chose for us, but it's the world that man chose. We chose a world of sin. That's why we die. That's why there's diseases. That's why there's bad things. It's because it's the world that we chose. We chose to allow sin to come into the world. So the reality is, God is in control. And the truth is, God has allowed man to have a choice. But you know, even with evil, there is a line where God will say, "That is enough." There is coming a day in this world where God says that is enough, and he's going to pour out his wrath on this world. The Bible talks about it as a tribulation period. God is in control. Do you know the devil and the demons fear God? They know he's in control. You go through the Bible, and there's times where Jesus met someone that was possessed with a demon, and that man would fall down. And he knew who Jesus was, and he was fearful. You know why? Because they know who he is. You know, the devil can't do anything to those that are saved unless God approves it. I mean, you think about it, God is in control. We don't have to go around and worry about things, amen? That's the God of heaven, amen? That's the God that I serve. He goes on and says here, verse 4, he says, "To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endures forever." Now you'll see where he talks about these great wonders, these miracles, these things that God has done. And I'm going to read the next few verses so you can see kind of the contents. "To him by his wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth, for his above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. To the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Here it is in these verses, he's saying to praise the Lord. Why to praise him? Because he is the creator. You think about God created everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. You think about it, God made everything. When we look out here and we see, yes, we see the snow, but you think about it, God created the snow. But you think the most amazing thing about that snow, yes, most of us want it gone, and it will melt in time. But you think about that snow when you go out, if you could take up that snow and you get in a magnifying glass and you got one of those little flakes and you look at one of those little flakes, do you know that little flake is different from all the other flakes that are out there? You think about the treasure of the snow, the God of heaven who created something that sometimes we take it for granted. We may enjoy the first snow, we may enjoy the second snow. But after the 160,000 snow of the, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, we're done with. But you think about the God of heaven who created the snow, made it unique. You think about the sun that God created. God created a sun that ultimately shines down on the earth and gives us heat. Do you imagine if we didn't have that sun? We would be frozen. We'd all be dead. And you think about the placement of the earth is in a perfect placement that we can live in. You don't believe me? Get in a spaceship and go to moon and see if you can make it. If you don't believe me, get in a spaceship and go to Mars. You know, they are going to try to send people to Mars. But you need all these things to try to live. Do you know a lot of times astronauts, when they're in going to the moon, that they have to exercise so much because of the gravity pull. They have to do it, so they're exercising a lot. I mean, why don't we have to do that here? Well, you should probably exercise, right? Why? Because God created a place perfect for us, a place to live. I mean, think about it. God created a place where we can have food and drink. Where else can you find it? You're not going to find that on Mars. You're not going to find that on Jupiter. God created that for us. God created the trees. And you think about it, we see its beauty as they grow. But God has created trees that gives fruit that you can eat from. Oh, I love apples. Oh, I love peaches. But you think about, God created flowers for the beauty. God has given us vegetables to eat. Animals that we can eat from. Amen? Other than the price of some of them going up so high, it's hard to eat those, amen? You'll have to go out and buy your own steer. It'd be cheaper, maybe. But you think about, God gave us all these things to help us. God gave us the stars. Did you ever go out at night when it's really, really cold? You go out at night when it's really, really cold sometimes, and you can look up, and you just look at those stars. It's like, wow, God created those. Sometimes you go out at night, and it's dark, and God created a lesser light, the moon, that reflects. And you can go outside and it lights up things at dark time because of the moon. God created that. I mean, think about it. God has created the seasons for us to enjoy. Folks, here it is. He's talking about the creation of God and his wonders. Do you ever think about your bodies? The Bible talks about how we are wonderfully made. I mean, really think about that. You know, sometimes you take it for granted. I mean, here it is. I just picked up a pen. Now, picking up a pen is an easy thing to do. Well, sometimes it's an easy thing to do. But if you think about picking up a pen, how complicated that is. You don't think it's complicated. They're spending millions and millions of dollars to create robots today. And these robots today that they're creating, they get all excited, Mark, after spending millions and millions and millions of dollars, that they can get a machine that goes and then somehow it goes and picks up a pen. And people clap their hands like, woo! Hey, you could have gave me $500, amen, I would have picked up a pen for you. I would have picked it up with my other hand. I could have then threw it up in the air, caught it behind my back. That may be in $1,000, amen. But what I'm saying is, you think about, they spend all this money for a machine just to pick up a pen. Then they get excited to spend millions and millions of dollars for that machine to finally write something. Folks, can I tell you, the God of heaven created you that has given you a mind and a brain. And that mind and brain sends waves through your body to tell your hands to put the fingers together and how to hold it. To be able to take the other finger to put on there, to snap it, and be able to write something. God did that. You think about your heart that's beating in there and circulating the blood. God did that. God has given you lungs that are in there to take in the air and take it out. You think about, God did that. God has given you a nose to smell something. Yeah. To smell and say, "Ooh, that smells good," or "Woo." Amen. Aren't you glad that you have a nose that you can smell? I love milk. And sometimes, you know, when I get milk, you know, one of the first things I do when I get milk, I don't jug it. I open up and I smell it. Yeah, then you got to put chocolate in and make it better. Amen. Smell it. And sometimes my nose is said, "Oh, no." Amen. Aren't you glad that God has given you a nose? God has given you ears, and these ears that you can hear things. God has given you a mouth to taste, or a tongue that's there. God has given you a tongue that you can speak and say words. I mean, God, you think about when God created us, we are wonderfully made. But you think about creation and how God made. I mean, it is impossible for evolution to be true. There has to be a creator. And can I tell you, that is the God of this Bible. Here it is, he's saying, give him praise, give him glory for what God has done. His wonders, right? The things that he has done. And then in verse 10 to 15, he starts talking about who God is, his greatness, and then he talks about his creation. And now he's starting to get into what God has done for Israel. Verse 10. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. You think about Israel. Israel was in Egypt. And when they were in Egypt, they were in bondage. They were slaves to Egypt. And as they were slaves to Egypt, the Pharaoh mistreated them, abused them, did all kinds of bad things to them, wanted to kill their children. And ultimately, God took had Moses to go before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And ultimately, what happened? God delivered Israel out of Egypt. God delivered them out of Egypt. They were in bondage. Can I tell you, you think about it, if you're saved here today, God has done the same for you. God has took you out of bondage of sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin. I mean, here it is. He's talking about Israel, the nation of Israel, what he did. In verse 11, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that divideth the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. These verses talks about when he led them out. And as God was getting ready to lead Israel out of Egypt, he did signs and wonders to them that the Egyptian people could realize there is a God of heaven, and they rejected him, that God was giving them a chance. And then ultimately they get to a Red Sea. You imagine being by the Red Sea as Egypt was coming against Israel, and they're by the Red Sea. They had nowhere to go. And God allowed that Red Sea to be parted. You imagine walking through, it was on dry ground, with the sea that's on both sides. I was down in Baltimore, Maryland, years ago. Baltimore, Maryland has an aquarium. It's a beautiful aquarium. I like aquariums. But if you go to Baltimore, Maryland, Maryland. I was tongue-tied there. There's a wonderful aquarium that you can go, and there's like an area that you can walk up or walk down. And as you're going around this little circle thing to go up or go down, they have the glass that you could see the fish. You could see sharks. You see, and I'm telling you how, it's just amazing that you see those different fish that are there. Folks, you think about it, you think about the goodness of God and what God has done. Here it is, that sea, and there it was on its side. I can only imagine, as they may have looked there, maybe they saw a fish that had its head through it, you know, like looking through, like, hey, what's over there, right? I mean, it's amazing what God did. God is just good. God in his power. Look what the Bible says here, starting in verse 16. Now he switches over a little bit. Starting in verse 16, he says, to him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. Not only did God deliver them out of Egypt, now God is helping them through their lives, their day-to-day living as they were living in the wilderness. Do you think about it? As they were living in the wilderness for 40 years, God fed them. God gave them manna. Every single day, other than the Sabbath day, on Friday, he gave them two amounts, or double the portion, I guess you'd say. Every single day they'd go out, and there was manna waiting for them. Something to eat. And God gave them food. God gave them drink. God provided for them. You think about it, as they were in that wilderness, there was no Walmart. There was no shopping center to go get clothes or other things that were there. God provided for them on that wilderness journey. And that's what he's reminding these people, is saying, hey, praise the Lord. Think about what he has done. As we continue on at verse 17, to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Zion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. And gave their land for inheritance, for his mercy endures forever. Here it is, he's talking about, as God led them through the wilderness and provided for them, then ultimately get ready for that, going into the promised land, the Canaan land, there were kings that they had to fight. And God defeated those kings, those great kings. But those kings were no battle for Israel. You know why? Because of God. When you think about these things, the truth is you could take them and relate them to your life. God has delivered you from sin. God has given you freedom, that you're saved. And now that God has given you life, he's helping you through this life, this journey that you're in, until you get to that promised land. And you're going to face battles in your life. And those battles that you cannot win on your own, God can give you great victory. I think about David and Goliath. And I think about that young man that was there, and that Goliath, that huge guy, had all that, they called it mail, but the armor that was on. I mean, I can't imagine facing someone like him. And Goliath was the best warrior probably ever in that time. And here came little David. He didn't have the armor on, didn't have a sword. He says, but I'm coming to you in the name of the God of heaven, who you have defiled. And that little boy, I don't know how old he was, probably a teenager, defeated that great warrior because of God. A lot of times in our life, we may have a Goliath. And can I tell you, don't forget, it's not, yes, we have to have a desire to do what's right. But the reality is, it's God that gives the victory. And here it is, he's reminding him and saying, don't forget where God has led you. You know, one day I'm going to be in the promised land. I'm not talking about Israel, but I'm talking about my inheritance that's waiting for me in heaven. Amen? And it's not because of me, but it's because of what Jesus did for me. You know, as the psalmist is saying, to give thanks unto him for his mercy endures forever. Oh, could I tell you, we could all give thanks for He is good. And then he says this, verse 22, even inheritance under Israel is certain, for his mercy endures forever. And then he says this, who remembered us in our low estate. Not only is he the God of heaven, and then he talks about the nation of Israel and what he did, and now he's going down to the individual. God cares about each and every one of us. As he's saying here, it says, who remembered us in our lowest state. That place of your life where you were at the lowest point in your life and you were thinking, I cannot leave, I cannot get out. God remembered you and God delivered you. I remember the day that God saved me. And I'm just so thankful what God did for me. The psalmist is reminded to give him praise. It says, and has redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Can I tell you, we have an enemy out there that hates us, the devil. And if the devil could, he would destroy you tonight. He would knock you off this face of the earth. But can I tell you, our God has defeated him. Amen? You think about, we had an enemy, death. Death. You think about most people who are like, oh no, I don't want to die. Don't misunderstand. I'm not looking forward to death per se. But I'm not fearful of death anymore. Because I know when I die, God has defeated death. Amen? Because he lives. I have eternal life in heaven. You think about the enemy. You think about that enemy, that sin, the wretched man that I am. I could not do anything because of the wickedness of my sin to make myself righteous and whole. But God has defeated the enemy. Folks, here it is. He's bringing it down to the individual level and saying, and has redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. My wife started a new hobby, feeding birds. I think we feed all the birds. Amen. But I want you to think about this for a moment. Those birds don't have a job. Those birds aren't on welfare. But you think about those birds. God cares about them. God cares about the sparrows. And as my wife has bought some feeders for the birds, and we have seen different birds come in, I see those birds come in and they get all excited. What are those little birds? The chickadees? My wife is like Cinderella. It was that Cinderella and the birds are around Cinderella. Do you ever see that where the birds are around Cinderella that were there? My wife will go outside and feed the birds. And as she's getting ready to feed the birds, those, what are they called? Chickadees will go up in the tree and like look at her like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Right? And she'll sit there and talk to those birds and ultimately put the bird seed in the filter. And as soon as she leaves, next thing you know, those birds go right down. What I'm saying is this. God cares about the sparrows. God cares about the birds. And can I tell you, God cares about you. The Bible talks about that, how all your hairs are numbered. All of them are numbered. Folks, can I tell you, you think about the God of heaven, how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. From the smallest little detail, God cares. And that's what he speaks here. It says, who giveth food to all flesh. God will take care of you. God will provide for you. And he says, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth for heaven, forever. How can we not praise him? Amen? You think about who God is, how good he is, how he's the God of heaven. You think about in heaven today, they're up there saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I mean, they're up there worshiping him. I mean, he's sitting on the throne. The angels are there. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are up there. They're worshiping the God of heaven. And God cares about every single thing of your life. From the biggest things to the smallest little details. God loves you. And then when you think about the second part of the chapter that says, for his mercy endureth forever. Mark, how much do you deserve? Jeremy, how much do you deserve? We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve the God of heaven who created this earth. And when God created this earth in Genesis, the Bible said he looked upon it, it was good. He said in another place it was good. In another place he said it was very good. This world is not very good because it's filled with sin. You know who did that? We did. But his mercy endureth forever. I want you to think about it just for a moment. If you had the authority or the power to take care of some things, can I tell you, you would have wiped out, if not the whole world. Well, you probably would have wiped out the whole world. And you would have probably done it right after Adam and Eve. For his mercy endureth forever. You see these people that are out there mocking God and making fun of God. For his mercy endureth forever. Amen. You think about these false gods that are leading people. For his mercy endureth forever. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the God of heaven. That you know and I know, that we serve. And the psalmist is saying, hey, let's give him praise. Let's give him thanks. Let's worship him for who he is. When you leave this place, don't forget about whatever you face in life. You have God. And just spend some time to thank him. Just give some time to praise him. Say, Lord, thank you. I mean, I'm learning from my wife feeding the birds. I'm learning it costs a little bit to feed the birds. I'm learning that one, too. But I'm also learning some of these birds are funny. You watch these birds. Some of these, we had before, we don't have them now, but the hummingbirds, how they look like they just float there and their wings are flapping so fast. And now they move. These, I think it was chickadees. You see these chickadees and how they go from a tree branch and come right down and land on that. I mean, there is not an aircraft that we have that can do the skills that this little bird does. You know? It's amazing and how they fly. And I sit there and I watch those birds. I don't count the money I'm losing from all the seed. But I sit there and look at those birds. You know what I see? I say, wow, look what God did in the creation of those little birds. We got some cardinals that came in. And I look at the beauty of the cardinals and some blue jays that have come in. I've seen the beauty of the blue jay. We have had orioles a couple years ago, right? I think it was last summer, an oriole that has come in. You see the beauty of the birds. Folks, can I tell you, I'm looking forward to seeing the golden finch? Goldfinch. And I was excited, Miss Alma, when I saw the robin. That's right. Because that means spring is going to be still far away for us in North Country. But at least that robin is saying it's coming. And you know what I see? I see the mercy of God. Be thankful that you know him. and good time to praise Him. Father, thank You for this opportunity to preach and teach Your Word, and I pray that we'd be able to learn from this. I pray, Father, that You would help us be able to apply it to our heart, that we'd give You glory and praise for who You are. Give us safety as we travel, and we ask in Jesus' precious name, amen.